Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You got to be here to see Max playing air drums. You know, I remember one time Tunch and I were driving the great, late great Myron Cope home. And, well, actually, I was in a trail vehicle. Tunch was driving Myron home in his car, and he calls me up on the phone. He goes, "You should see, I got Buddy Rich over here playing the air drums." And I'm looking, I see this little head, you know, from the back and behind him. You can barely see Myron's the top of his head, and he's got the hands flailing. He's playing the air drums. It was really funny. It was great. Myron was just so cool. Loved that guy. But anyhow, Max, good to have you in studio. We are here. We're breaking down last night's game, or yesterday afternoon's game. Yeah. But we opened the phone lines, and we do have – oh, look at you. You got a whole bunch of call stuff.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm sure there's friends who want to also dial in. And
oh, exactly.
Like, I don't want to call the phone number, but I'll text you, Max, your problems. You know, I'm like, no.
By the way, are the Cardinals in Mexico City?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Okay, I just got a text from my two brothers, and my one brother's asking Ronnie, you know, my brother Ronnie. He's down in Mexico City with the Cardinals, and
he says, "Stadium Azteca, Estadio Azteca."
Well, Ronnie, stay in the hotel.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Don't drink the water either. Yeah, only bottled. Only bottled.
Only bottled. I will tell you, I've been there three times, and I've lost weight every time I came back.
Yeah. Because you're like, nah, I don't know. First of all, don't. And here's the other thing. Here's the hidden one.
Yeah.
Don't eat the washed fruit.
Thank you. That's what got me the second time.
Yeah, exactly. That's what got us when we were down at doing the Steelers camp in Mexico.
Okay.
And like Bud Dupree and a couple other guys, like they're like, "Man, I'm just going to do fruit. I don't know about this meat mixture." Yeah. I was like, you know, they have to wash the fruit if it's cut, right? I mean, it's different if you get a whole piece of fruit and then you could use the bottled water to wash it off.
Right.
But if it's pre-cut, it means it was washed in water.
I could have used that. Would have been useful about 8-10 years ago.
Yeah, listen, you had my number. You could have called Max. What are the Mexico rules again?
Yeah, exactly. So we'll have to take that up with Alvaro and
exactly.
Arturo.
Yeah, know? Exactly. No, but yeah, but but that's just one of the little things. So it's like, and knowing Ron's like, he's so, you know, dialed in.
Right.
He's just so disciplined. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure he,
unlike his big brother who's horn-swoggling donuts.
Like, you know, he probably packed like beef jerky in his backpack. He's probably eating beef jerky like just on a straight beef jerky.
That's a fruit.
I mean, yeah, ish.
Close enough.
Yeah. All right, who do we got on the phone?
Okay, we got Bobby O. Hey, Bobby O, you're in the locker room. Wolf Starks and the Ninjas. How you doing? Okay, that's a little rough start there.
Yeah.
Are you there, Bobby? Okay, we can't do this by Morse code.
No, I did not pass that class.
Mario.
Are you there?
It's Mario.
Oh, Mario. Okay.
Mario.
Okay, Mario.
Sorry, oh, no, that's why you get the name wrong.
Yes. It was wrong on the screen, buddy.
Yeah, somebody has to dial it in better.
All right.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing good. Come ahead.
Good. I just wanted to talk about, we're practically there. We scored 30 points against the Bengals. And we're getting closer and closer, scoring more.
Well, the offense is evolving. Look, here's the thing you had to know. When Kenny was inserted into the lineup back how many weeks ago, you knew that, okay, you're in this for the long haul. This is not about a shortstop type of let's see how he does and we go in and out with the guy. No, this is going to be, Max, this is what it is for the whole year because this is a number one draft pick. And, by the way, I think he's hanging in there and punching it out pretty darn good for a young guy. So I'm not at all disappointed. I know there's
me neither.
You want to see some growth, but let me tell you something. You know, it's not an easy position to do this in the NFL.
No, it's not. And Mario, you know,
I agree with you.
Yeah, and I think, and so when I come in with my critiques, you know, this is just what I'm seeing from the sidelines, like live action, right? There's hopes. And you hope that there's growth in certain areas. And I think he's grown a whole lot. And like I said, clean sheet last night, right? No interceptions.
Right.
That's positive growth.
Two games in a row.
One more thing. I'm from Jersey. So I was able to see the game at the second half because the Cowboys game was turned off.
Yeah.
There we go. See, and that's another good sign. We were playing good enough that they said, you know what? We got to put this game on because the other game was so bad. And we were in that category. Now, if it was Buffalo, they probably would have cut the channel. But, hey, no, not last night. We were earning the late afternoon spot.
There you go.
I thought that was a good sign as well.
Yes.
What else you got,
Thank
Mario?
You.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Okay.
That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Welcome,
appreciate
Mario.
It. All right. So that's a great point. You know, the fact is that this was a very competitive game, and it was only towards the end. And, you know, again, I go back to I salute the guys just slugging it out, staying after it. It's tough. You know, I can tell you, having been in cold games, cold weather games like that, when you lose in a fashion such as because you're just roaring in the first half and snoring in the second half, it's so disappointing. Because you're out there, and everything hurts a little worse Monday morning after a game like that.
Well, and the other thing I think I would like to point to is to have that many points scored in such a cold game.
Yeah.
This game is normally like a 20-16 type of weather.
Right.
You know, and the fact that both these teams got above 30 points, I mean, I'm sure everybody out there was like, there's no way they're gonna get 60 points in this game. And then they slugged it out. And I thought that was another cool thing was that when you're in a cold game and you're miserable and you still find ways to put points on the board,
right?
It's always a good progress for the team. It's just like I said, you're disappointed that you were so close and like just a couple of things happen that could have really changed the difference of the game after having such a great first half. You know, for it to end that type of way where you only put up 10 in the second half is tough. But I mean, I think that was the thing when. You know, I'm going to say it, halftime adjustments, just seeing some of that growth a little bit more sooner. Because I thought we saw it in the fourth quarter, like they kind of got, you know, it's like you stumble back into the corner for a second, and you just put your fist
just
up
covering
and just take
up.
It.
Yep.
Yeah, just you're taking the blows because they got a little bit of life in them, and then you come back out, and I thought they stormed out of the corner, but it just fell a little bit short. Like that drive before, had 540? If you had it then with the score, how different that could have been, because you probably would have gave a little juice to the defense. Probably would have been like, okay, we got to come up with one more. They've gotten their rhythm finally, but at the end, it was just a little bit too late. Not enough time left on the clock.
You know, one of the things I used to do with my boxes, I was just remembering as you were talking about being in the corner.
Which, by the way, you were my coach.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
Taught
right.
a little bit there.
Yeah.
I used to have the guys, when we were sparring, I would have them spin in a circle, you know, to disorient themselves for about, you know, 15 seconds or so. Then I'd put them in the corner, and you got to survive a fresh guy coming at you. You know, and cover up. And it wasn't a meat eater type thing. But, it, you know, you get in there and you work the corner and you got to learn how to orient yourself very quickly. I don't know why I'm telling this because it has nothing to do with football. But it was just the fact that you were talking about that.
But I think it makes perfect sense when you're talking about coming out in the second half, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because,
absolutely.
Like, you're feeling one type of way and then things don't go as well right at the beginning. So you've got to reorient yourself into what the game is.
Well, you're pretty smart, Max.
You know, listen, you throw it up there. I got to go either catch it or swat it. I mean, one of the two things.
That was over
the
left fence, yeah. Baby. All right, let's get back to the phones. We got Cuban Dan in North Carolina. Cuban Dan, welcome to the locker room.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing, guys?
Doing all right, Dan.
Good deal. Hey, last time I called Max, I didn't say welcome to the show, so welcome to the show.
Ah, thank you. Appreciate it. Now all's right in the universe.
Well, you know what? For the longest time, we had two knuckleheads doing the 10 o'clock show, and now we have a knucklehead and someone that's not so much. So it's a really good balance and a really good mix.
Wait a minute. He's a knucklehead as much as I am. What are you talking about?
Let me have my compliment. It's okay.
Great googly moogly.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, so just a couple of things. I don't know if I'm crazy, but every week I seem to see a little bit more improvement. Of course, everybody woke up this morning and we were all disappointed with the results. But, you know, just like the last caller talked about, no interceptions again, second game in the row, moving the ball still. You know, the issue that I hope we can get past at some point is that red zone offense, which there were some glimmers yesterday afternoon. But
yeah,
I still find myself to be encouraged. Like, I don't think this is the year that we get a ring, but my gosh, is there not like a lot to build on with this?
I think you're right on, Cuban Dan. I mean, besides the fact you're named after a great sandwich.
Yeah.
That is a great sandwich, man.
The nickname.
Absolutely. I like Dan. You don't need the pickles in the Cuban sandwich. You know, the mustard's enough.
I like pickles in my Cuban sandwich, if you don't mind.
Well, that's fine. Well, you can be different, but Dan and I have the super majority now.
I'm part of the majority too.
And he doesn't like pickles in his Cuban sandwich. I mean, two for two.
Go ahead, Dan.
You know, there's just one thing that, like, I'm on a lot of different Steelers sites, you know, fan sites and everything,
right,
which sometimes they're hard to take in, but one thing that I saw this morning was one of the Bengals players had said that, you know, the Steelers just kept running the same plays over and over and over. Like, I haven't heard the interview or anything like that, but it was a headline that I caught. If there is truth to that, can you guys speak to that? Because that doesn't seem
sure,
like a very good approach.
What the guy didn't say either was that the Bengals were running the same plays over and over as well.
Yeah,
and one team
exactly
made adjustments or was able to counteract them, and another team wasn't.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Like, the Steelers ran the plays that were successful in the first half, and you kind of tweak those. That's what a second half adjustment is. It's like,
right,
because the first half is the feeling out, right? That's the chessboard, right? You're trying to set up the board for how you want to strike later, and then the second half is like, okay, I've got them in position. Now, if I show them this again, let's see if they make the adjustment. If they don't make the adjustment, then why wouldn't you keep running the same play? If the team is not doing what you're expecting them to do, yeah, you run that play again. But it is that cat and mouse type of approach in the second half. And, yeah, Joe Burrow and company, they ran the same. In fact, they ran a couple of plays, the same ones back-to-back in situations. Okay. So, I mean, so there is truth to it, but there's also reasoning behind that truth. Like, you can't make it as simple as, oh, they ran the same plays over and over, it didn't work, and they look bad doing it, and we could predict what they were going to do. No, the same thing was true on the other side of the ball. That's what you do in games. You figure out what you do well coming into halftime, and you execute them again because you're like, we already have reference on what they're doing, and now we can see the adjustments in that. So, I mean, there is some truth. And they did throw some different things out there. There was a couple of screens that they tried that just didn't work, and we were getting off the field. I think once you get into the rhythm of a drive, which we saw on the touchdown drive, you're running the same things, but you're just kind of mixing up the motion. But if you're getting knocked off the field on third downs and not continuing those drives and converting, it does seem like that because there's less opportunity, especially when the other team's driving it longer.
Okay. All right. Were their halftime adjustments better than our halftime adjustments? Is that why we were so flat in the second half?
Well, there's some things that you got to, you know, as the week unfolds, we got to find out, you know, when Mike Tomlin has the press conference tomorrow. And, you know, one of the things you want to ask is, okay, did you move any of the double teams to Higgins or anything like that? Did you try to double him, take him out? And if not, why? And part of the reasons are going to be that you're not getting the pressure with the four guys the way you were in the first game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so every time you got to bring somebody extra, that's somebody that's not going to be in coverage.
Well, and one of the big adjustments, Dan, that they did in the second half that they didn't do in the first half, they actually moved, and I don't know if you saw this, Wolf, they moved Samaje Perine up. They moved him in between the center and the guard to counteract the double A gap. And they just moved him up and in front so he would be there quicker. But the thing is, if you're not blitzing that guy and you're dropping him, now his connection lane on the check down is a lot sooner because he's closer to the line of scrimmage. He's not having to scan. He has that one guy, and if that guy the backer doesn't come on that double A gap and he's bailing, now Samaje just has to mirror and then stop sooner.
All he's got to do is just cross the line of scrimmage and turn around because the other guy's got his back, you know.
Yeah, and now you take that backer who's dropping into the middle of the field. Now he has to play up, and guess what? T. Higgins right over the top of that backer.
Right over the
Tyler
top.
Tyler Boyd right over the top of that
what
backer.
What you try to do is construct schemes so that you put some player in conflict. What you want to do is go, which way did he go?
Gotcha.
You know, which way do I go? That's what you do. And you have two-man concept. That's another original. That's a good way to counteract the double-A gap. Yeah. And also, what happens then, too, is you threaten the double-A gap. You get a squeeze call by the line, and then all of a sudden somebody comes off the edge, like, what's his name? Was it Hubbard?
Sam Hubbard.
Yeah, well, it was like nobody touched him. They're going, great googly moogly. You can't turn that guy loose.
No, you can't. You can't
turn but you got a squeeze
Hubbard.
Call, and you got to, yeah.
Yeah, so now you either get Sam Hubbard off the edge, Pratt off the edge, and now you're in a disadvantageous position. So it's those are the adjustments, and that's the play in the second half. And I thought the Bengals just did it better, right?
Yeah.
They decided, hey, you know what? We're not going to worry about the squeeze call. We're going to keep big on big because it's T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith.
Right.
So we want to keep our guys wide. Let's move the backer up. Instead of being next to the quarterback pre-snap, let's move him up and in and have him there to counteract so the guard and the tackle can stay on the big guys and not have to worry about a little guy.
Got to go
guy.
Big on big.
Yeah.
Anything that else, brother?
Just one more thing. CR, if you're listening, I think I heard that you were going to be at the Carolina game. I'm going down with a group of friends, and I think it'd be pretty cool if we could link up for a minute, say hello to each other.
There you go.
If you're listening, send Wes your handle or some way to get in touch with you and let him forward it over to me.
Yeah, I like it. I like when Steelers Nation comes together.
You know, they do, and because of that, I'm going to go ahead. Let me just pop in here in the old twit box.
Ooh.
And because CR is always giving me stuff. So CR, if you're looking for his handle on Twitter, it's Steel Nation CHGO. Steel Nation CHGO.
I will try to find you on Twitter, and then you can just forward it to me.
Okay, perfect.
Dan, is this your cell phone number that you called in on?
Yeah, man.
All right, I'm going to text you. I got CR's number. I'm going to text it to you.
Okay.
That's how Steelers Nation rolls, buddy.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. If anybody else is going to be in the at that game, man, by all means, try to link me up. Always looking forward to meeting up with other Steelers fans.
Beautiful. Right.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, brother. We appreciate your call. Don't
have
be
a
stranger.
Day, guys.
All right, man. Have a great day.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, I think we got enough time to get one more. We got break.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
Max, take us to a break, buddy.
We'll break early so that we have more time for callers.
Greg, Eddie, and Everett, hang in there. We'll be getting to you the next segment.
That's right. We're still in the locker room.
Yeah.
Here in Pittsburgh, it's a little chilly.
Max is wearing the locker room for crying out loud.
I am wearing the locker room, but I'm wearing it with short sleeves because that's the type of guy I am. I'm not let this cold get to me like last night in a climate-controlled environment. But we're in the locker room. It's Wolf and Starks and Wes over there, lead ninja here in the locker room. ESPN Radio SNR.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Now, one of the great pluses we've seen over the last several weeks has been the rise of the running game, and specifically with Najee Harris, Najee looking like Najee. like what you expect, what you thought about when you drafted this guy first round. I'm telling you, when he airmailed himself into the end zone,
yeah,
that was spectacular.
Yeah, no, I mean, Santa couldn't have done it better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There was no denying that man.
No, and then not only did he get the ball over the line and everything else, he went and added the foot just for extra measure, kicking the pylon inside out. I'm just saying. I mean, he had all points covered on that one. I mean, it was like crash test dummy, like flying out the windshield. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just – because nobody would – who do you know in their right mind would jump and land – shoulder, hip first into concrete.
Oh,
because that's essentially how hard the surface was last night with that.
It hurt bad enough just falling from my height.
Yeah, exactly. Even if I took a knee, you know what I'm saying? Like that hurts.
How about the Muth taking that knee when Eli Apple went leg whip on him there?
Yeah,
man, that had to hurt. He looked like he was, oof.
In pain.
Yeah, that was in pain.
Painful moment. And also, you know, Jaylen Warren, we lost him early in the game when he was going for that first down, right?
Yes.
When we're talking about converting, moving the sticks. He sold himself out on that one to dive and make sure he got enough yardage for the first down. But you land on your knee and your hip like that, and then a guy lands on top of you.
Absolutely.
Know, that's crazy.
Was that
action.
The play that Kenny was climbing the pocket and at the last second he throws off to Jaylen? Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Throw it off on a dump off.
You know, I thought, again, that was another – mature decision by Kenny here. You climb the pocket. You know where the line of scrimmage is. You throw the ball. You get it in the hands of a playmaker like Jaylen. He makes the play. Again, that's another one of those positive things that you know where your checkdowns are, even while you're scrambling.
Yeah, maturity.
Yeah.
It's a mature decision to make, whereas some guys who would probably be more apt to run the football would have tried to run there and probably came up short because there was a lot of congestion in the pocket. There was pressure coming from the outside that made him roll right.
Yes.
And you probably don't get the first down. But he's like, nope, keep my eyes upfield, climb.
Yep.
And you see Jaylen out the corner of your eye, dump it, boom, zipped it to him. And Jaylen did what he had to do to get the first down.
You are exactly correct, sir.
All right. Well, next up on the hotline here in the Power Hour, we got Greg from Richmond. Greg, what's up? Welcome into the locker room.
Wolf and Stouts, how y'all doing?
Doing good.
We are doing great, my friend.
Just wanted to wish you and your families a happy Thanksgiving to you and your families, man.
Oh man. Happy Thanksgiving to you, brother.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Obviously, this holiday gets overlooked because there's Christmas stuff out there, but there's still Turkey Day.
Yes.
It's a true thankful day, so thank you.
I only have two things. I want your comments. I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
The mic. First thing is Dan Moore, number 65. Do you see every week I watch the games, he's getting beat or getting holding calls. Do you see him being there next season? Your honest opinion. And my second thing was, I'm a big Bill Cowher fan, and because he gave a whole lot of energy on the sidelines, had his chin out, and was spitting everywhere. When they showed Mike Tomlin's expression on the field, not saying every game, and I know he cares, but he shows no energy, no enthusiasm. Do you think that he could show a little more energy on the sidelines to the players or offense or defense to get us motivated?
You know what? I'm not worried at all about what Mike Tomlin does as far as motivational. You got to understand, I come from the world of Chuck Knoll, and Chuck Knoll point blank told us, all of us, if it's up to me to get you motivated to play this game, you're not going to be around here long.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah, that's number one. Okay, but I will tell you this, Mike is very motivated. I've spent 20 years down on the sidelines, well, 15 or so,
16.
Watching him. And I can tell you, he is absolutely engaged and you know, high energy. And I'll turn it over to Max because Max played for him. So, you know, take it away, Max.
Well, and here's the other thing that, you know, I think a lot of guys kind of lose sight of is, we don't see what is said in the locker room.
Yeah.
And for Mike T, like, he's not a guy that's gonna show all this crazy emotion on the sidelines, right? He's not as up and down of a Richter scale like, you know, like Cowher was. Like, Cowher was in your face. You knew the chin was there.
Yeah.
He was pissed off. He was hot, you know, hot-blooded about a lot of things. But Mike T is, you know, he allows his coaches to coach. He'll handle those adjustments with the coaches. And if something needs to be said to the players, you know, he's the first one congratulating guys when they come off the sidelines when good things happen. Absolutely. He's there. He's animated. He's smiling. When things aren't going as well, he handles it with allows the coaches to do their job, right? Because that's what the coach's job is, to adjust, to make sure you're there. He'll come to the sidelines. He'll say something quick while the guys are on the bench. But he's not a guy, when he's standing on the sidelines, like he is a coach. Like he's like, I'm dialed into who's on the field in this moment, and I'm going to handle it when they come to the sidelines. I'm going to let them play when they're on the field. I'll talk to them on the sidelines. But he's not – like, I had Steve Spurrier. And so Coach Spurrier, different personality. Coach Spurrier, stuff was flying. His visor was coming off. Papers were getting scattered. And you see Jamie Spironis coming in and cleaning up his papers all the time. He was a more animated individual. Cower was one that was going to be animated. He was going to be yelling at the guys on the field. Mike T's not that way. And I think also when players change, like players have evolved from when Craig played, when I played.
Right.
And so he might also know these guys don't respond as well to that. Right, there might be a couple of guys, like he could probably go up to Cam and Minka and say something and get in their head a little bit. But a lot of the guys, you know, they're already beating themselves up mentally, you know, and his job might be in certain situations, hey, you got it. Next series, bro. Next series, let's come back to it.
He tries to flip the page.
He tries to flip the page so that you're not caught in the emotional roller coaster. And early on in his career, like his first year, very emotional, very high-headed,
right,
because he was a DB coach / D coordinator for a year, so he still had the position coach type
and
mentality.
And he was demonstrating who he was. You know what I mean?
He was trying to earn his stripes to say, hey, I am the head coach, because you got guys on the team that literally are the same age as you when he first came in. But now he's matured in that position. He knows the psychology of each of those players. So don't let his lack of emotion kind of fool you that he's not into it. He's very in tune to it. He takes notes on that little notepad that he keeps, and he adjusts accordingly in the locker room accordingly, or pregame and postgame. He'll have that conversation.
But he's not going to beat you in public.
No, he's not. He's not going to beat you up in public. Yeah. And if he calls you out, he's already talked to you, and he's calling you out to let everybody else know that that we've had that conversation.
Exactly. Now, so, Dan Moore, dadgummit, Dan Moore is a good player. Last night was not his best effort. You will see better from Dan Moore. I've seen it over the year and a half now that we've watched him.
Yeah.
He's still a young guy. I mean, he's not even got his full man strength on yet.
Yeah.
Okay, it's going to come. Max, I'll give that to you again because you played that same position. But Dan is a guy that's got a lot of upside.
Yeah, Dan will be here next year. That's not a question about it. But he's still learning. Like, I think that's the other thing. It's one thing to be a young guy in an old room like I was, right?
Where
I had those mentors. I had Barrett Brooks I could talk to. I had Marvell Smith I could talk to. Oliver Ross, right? I had these guys who 7-8 years in the league that I could lean on to help me kind of fast track myself. And whereas Dan came in week one, day one, you're the left tackle starter, right? Zach Banner's not healthy. It was supposed to be Zach and Chooks. Chooks was supposed to be the left tackle. Zach Banner's not healthy. Chooks needs to stay at right. And Dan Moore, pure rookie, coming in at that left tackle position as a third rounder and having to figure it out. And then you have a room in there that who can I lean on? Because it's a young, inexperienced room a year ago, and they've gotten a little bit more mature, right? But Chooks is sold on the right tackle position, so he has no input to give Dan at left tackle. And then you bring in James Daniels and you bring in Mason Cole, veterans, but guard and center. They're interior guys. So Dan is still kind of by himself for all intents and purposes. And then you bring in Jesse Davis a little bit later, who's a swing guy. There's not a lot of experience for him to lean on, so he's learning a lot of this on his own.
And think about this. You're in the AFC North. You're going to see Myles Garrett twice a year. You're going to see Trey Hendrickson twice a year. You know, you've got whatever Ravenite is coming at you.
That's going to be just ridiculous man-wreckers.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Moore was drafted specifically to be that guy, and I've seen growth. Now, he's got to work out his kick step. He needs to punch better. He gets caught with folded arms, and he gets his chest exposed. Those are things that he can work on, but his run blocking and everything else, he's getting better at it, and I just believe you got to give him time. He can hang with it.
Yeah, and I've had conversations with Dan, and I talked to Dan last night, and we had our conversation, and you know there's things that he's taking in active information,
right?
And I think that's one of the biggest things, because at left tackle you can't be emotional, and this is something that I try and impart on all young left tackle. You can't be emotional. You can't, because the second that you lose sight of what you're doing, it bleeds into the next play.
It does.
And then it bleeds into the next series. And then you get this roller coaster of emotions, because at right tackle, you can be a little bit more aggressive, right? Quarterback can see most of that stuff. So you could be a little more physical. You could be a little more mental with him.
And the best pass rusher is usually on the other side.
Is on the other side. Exactly. So, I mean, but now we're getting to where not guys will flip. Yeah. Now, because TJ.
Not only that, yeah. Now they're finding two guys that can rush the ball.
They're finding two guys. So, yeah. So it is a little bit more. And it takes, I will say this, it takes about 3 to 4 years for a left tackle to really mature and really be in that position. When I went over to left tackle, I was already a year three. So I wasn't a day one rookie inserted. Yeah. I played right tackle for those first 3 years and then moved over after I matured to the left tackle position and finished out my career there. So I had a little bit more, and like I said, I had an older room. I had older guys. I was just the young pup that came into this kennel with all these veteran dogs, and so you have to grow up in that room. You can't be playful. And so where you have a lot younger guys, everybody's trying to figure it out, and nobody has the answer. So that's the tough thing. Just stick with him. He's getting better, and you know, he can't row the boat. No. He can't row the
boat. I think he's going to be a fine player at some point.
He will be. I guarantee you, he will be a 10-year player in the NFL.
That's what we got, bro.
Yeah, nah, no worries, man. Absolutely. All right. We're going to get aggressive. Eddie, Virginia Beach, we're going to go in, and we're going to try to solve this. I'm going to blow past the break a little bit, but we'll be all right. How are you, Eddie?
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing fabulous, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I love the team. Like I said, I'm a diehard Steelers fan, and only thing I have to say is I wish we would just get a little bit more aggressive in the third and fourth quarter. It's taking us a little bit too long to adjust to what's going on.
Yeah.
But I see growth in the team. I see a lot of things that's going on, and I think we're going to be okay, you know?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm not at all, down. Listen, part of the thing is I always, and Max will be the same way, as former players, you view it as a player, and you can't get caught up in the, oh, it's just terrible and this and that. Yeah, there's good points and bad points in each and every game. But, you fight to keep going forward, and that's what these guys have to do. For us sitting out on the outside, we watch, we root for them and stuff, but you want to see growth. And I see growth in a lot of guys, but you're going to need a continual amount of consistency being applied to what they're doing. And that's one of the things that young people don't have. They're not ready to be a consistent pro yet, and it comes about. And right now we're seeing the growth in a number of guys, from Kenny Pickett to Dan Moore to a number of other guys.
And the other thing is that they're young, and you don't know what you don't know at a young age. Think about, Eddie, think about back when you were 22. If you knew what you knew now at 22, yeah, it'd be a different experience, right? You've got life on your side. But these guys, every play, they're still taking in knowledge. You think Kenny Pickett, rookie. Najee Harris, only his second year. Dan Moore, only his second year. Pat Freiermuth, only his second year.
Right.
And you got all these young pieces, and you're like, we need y'all to grow up now. And then you add, even though James Daniels and Mason Cole have experience on other teams, this is their first year with the Steelers. This is their first year with this team and understanding what that, when we see the standard is the standard, like, what is that standard? It's like figuring out what it is, and the older guys can kind of lead by example, but you have to make that into your own thing. And so that's where I don't get as frustrated. I can get frustrated at moments, but I'm like, then I peel it back, and after I've had an evening to think about it and digest it, I'm like, you know what? He didn't know. He hadn't been in that situation. I'm like, and he learned, and the biggest thing is like when you have those conversations afterwards or when you see the next performance, as long as you're not making the same mistake twice, that is growth. And sometimes that doesn't show up on the stat sheet. Sometimes that comes a couple of weeks later. You're like, oh, okay.
Is that when you kind of sit there and you wish and you go, boy, I shouldn't have invested everything I had in FTX.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't put a mortgage on FTX. Right?
There you go.
Or if it's like Disney, your stock is slumping. It's because all those bills came due on all that content you created on Disney Plus.
There you go.
Acquisition of Fox, right?
Okay.
So that's what it is. It's learning those things, and you're learning it on the fly because we're watching it, right? We're seeing that board meeting every single week. You don't get to go 3-4 weeks and say, hey, I've learned, I can't wait to show you. It's like, no, 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 on to the next one. Oh, by the way, it's coming in 7 days. Exactly 7 days from now, you're going to be doing the same exact thing. So it's sped up, and for young people today, you know, college doesn't really prepare you for the pros because – you know, whereas you have a schedule, you have your coaches that are on your butt in college, you're having to go to class, you're having to do all this other stuff. Now you manage it in a different sense where it's like, it's on you. You're now a grown man. How do you manage your time? And if you were a bad time manager in college.
You're not going to be around long.
Yeah, you're not going to be around long. There's no 4-year scholarship, you know, that's available to you. You've got to pick it up and you got to figure it out through the fog.
Right. Anything else, brother?
Yeah, I also like to tell CR, too, I'll be in the North Carolina game, too.
Okay.
On December 18th.
Okay. All right, we got another one here. Beautiful.
Another one. We're going to have a nice Steelers contingent.
CR's going to have a whole contingent with him there.
Yeah.
If he's going.
Yeah. Him and Juan, right? Because Juan's also down there.
Juan should be down. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, thanks, Eddie. We appreciate the call very much so. We're going to step aside one last time, right? It's the bell lap, Wolf.
Everett, we're coming to you next segment, buddy. Hang in there.
Yeah, hang tight in the fort. We're going to get back to you when we come back in the locker room. Wolf Starks and the Ninjas, of course, on ESPN and SNR Radio.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, it's the bell lap of In the Locker Room. Wolf Starks and the Ninjas. We got Everett in Fort Wayne. Everett, welcome to the locker room, my friend.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing all right.
We are fantabulous. I'm full of donuts.
Hey, last time we talked, it was about Wizard of Oz.
Yes, that's right.
And I just wanted to mention to you that there is a festival in Kansas, a town called Liberal, Kansas, in the second week of October every year. It's called Ozfest, and it's really cool.
Are you kidding me? Really?
Yeah, you need to check it out sometime or Google it or something. It's really cool.
You know,
they used to have when they still had some of those munchkins still alive, they used to actually go visit that festival. I'm not sure if there's any left at this point, but it's really a cool festival.
Max, that sounds like a place we need to go do a radio show from.
We actually need a live remote. All right. Sensei Lamb, you heard it. Ozfest, munchkins, fun.
Google
Liberal
it.
Kansas.
Second weekend of October.
You know what?
Hey, the other thing is...
You know what?
Go ahead.
Hey, you better be right because it would be my luck to land in the middle of Ozzy Osbourne and a Black Sabbath weekend concert or something like that. That would really stink.
It's not that.
Okay.
Maybe
okay.
It's not called Ozfest, but it is the Wizard of Oz.
No, that is awesome.
Hey, I'm over in Fort Wayne. I'm only an hour and a half from Indy, so I'm gonna be at the game next Monday night. I would love to meet you guys. That'd be awesome.
Beautiful. Well, beautiful. We'll be on the field pregame at some point in time, but it might be harder to find me, but you can find Max.
Yeah, I guess I'm a walking redwood.
Yeah. He's a redwood tree on 2 feet, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, if you see us, make sure you holler at us, Everett, because we'll be around. Like I said, we'll get down to the field. I've never been here for an actual game. As a non-player, so yeah. I don't even know how we're going to get in the stadium. So if we're walking around aimlessly around the field house, just tap us on the shoulder.
And by the way, I will tell you this, Everett. All right, Saturday night, I believe it was Saturday night, The Wizard of Oz was on.
Oh, it was.
I watched it for a period of time. Yeah.
I missed it. Hey, I've been a Steelers fan since my first game in '72, and I'm understanding that we're young and we're inexperienced, and that's adding to the frustration. But do you guys really honestly think that we're going to grow with Matt Canada next year? I just don't see it. When I saw the flea flicker after we hit Pickens down the sideline for that big gain, and then the next play was a flea flicker, I just threw up my hands. The play calling to me is just willy-nilly. It doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, the interesting thing to me is that And I understand your frustration, okay? But I also know that there's nobody who's got more at stake and who depends more on Matt Canada than Mike Tomlin, all right? And
yeah.
For Mike, let me say this. I trust Mike's judgment. I really do. The guy is a complete coach. He's a winner. He's proven it over and over. And he has faith in Matt Canada. Now, if there's something that's going to happen at the end of the season, it might be. We'll see. You don't know. But, you know, until then, I kind of withhold judgment. I'd like to see some more improvement in the offense, but we're seeing improvement as Kenny Pickett improves. Look, everything is centrally located with a quarterback. You can't win without a franchise quarterback, and you've got to make sure that you give every bit of time to Kenny in his development stage here to understand. You got to see what you can see and what you get out of him, because otherwise you're not going to realize the full fruition of what he's capable of doing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the biggest thing is that evaluation. We won't know anything until the end of the year. Like, Mike Tomlin's not a guy that's going to just fire a guy in the middle of the season, right, and switch it over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's tough. And I think, you know, these next six games are going to really give us the looks that we need to see. There's seven games, right? Week 11, we already had the bye.
Yeah.
So, seven games. The next seven games are really going to tell where we're growing. I thought one of the nice things was we got up to 30 minutes. Right. 30 points. Sorry, yeah. I said 30 minutes. We got to 30 points. That's why you don't look at a clock and have a conversation. But we got to 30 points. Now, can we build off of that? Can we actually get into that mojo where now, as we go to see the Colts, can we get 30 points on the Colts or better? Or can we match that performance? I think that's what we're looking for. Is there another 200-yard rushing performance in us? Like, that's when you're going to start seeing the growth. And then that'll kind of give us a clearer picture as we get to the end of the year.
Again, it's the end of the year, like Max is saying.
In the fray, I'm not going to expect to see any changes until then.
Right.
No, I didn't think so. That's why I said next year. Growth next year.
Yeah.
I think Pickett's doing good. I think he's growing. I know he's young, but I see a lot of potential there. I mean, like I heard some broadcasters say yesterday, Aikman was 1-15 and Manning was 3-13 their first year. So
Terry Bradshaw threw 24 interceptions his rookie year. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. Not worried about Pickett, not worried about Najee, just worried about the scheme. Even Trubisky said it the second week when he was asked, you know, why aren't we getting plays over the middle? And he said, you need to scheme plays over the middle. And we're just not utilizing our talent, in my opinion.
All right, Everett. Thank you for checking in, buddy. We're going to have to roll here. Appreciate you, bro.
See you in Indy.
Okay, sounds good.
See you there. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, but he's adjusted. We're now starting to see more stuff over the middle, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, against the Saints, Kenny was 4 of 5 for 54 yards between the numbers.
Yeah.
You know, he's making progress, and it's coming about. We're not setting records. But, look, we're trying to win games right now, and that's where we're at.
Exactly. And like I said, last night, if you don't throw into quadruple coverage, there's another one.
Yeah.
Right, to Gentry in the end zone.
Yep.
And Connor Hayward, there was a route underneath behind him. So we got some good work here. Bell lap is finished. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, because you got to catch a flight.
That's true. I do have to get on the old aeroplane. And we're just so thankful for all of Steelers Nation. Thanks for the callers today. And we'll be back tomorrow. Same bat channel, same bat time. If you missed any of our show, make sure you go and download it on Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, or wherever else you get podcasts. Our whole lineup is there. The standard's there. The blitz is there. And, of course, tomorrow.
Pitch to Johnny. You can't pitch to Johnny. I'm Johnny.
That's right. We're pitching to Johnny because Wes Euler's coming with the Steelers Weekend Review.
The heater.
That's right. The heater down the middle. And, of course, the Godfather, who's coming up next. He also drops his podcast twice weekly on the Steelers mobile app and iHeartRadio app. So take care, everyone in Steelers Nation, and we'll be back tomorrow here in the locker room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN and SNR Radio.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah!
and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.